Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Hello, I'm Jim Richards. I want to welcome you to this broadcast. This month, we are releasing not only my new book, Apocalypse, A Spiritual Guide to the Second Coming, but this month, I'm also releasing my new series by the same title. Listen, today, what I'm going to be sharing with you is going to open your eyes. It's going to help you understand what's happening in the world, why it's really happening, and how it's really happening. Because you want to understand something. If you don't understand the beginning, if you don't understand how things began, it is totally impossible for you to recognize what's really happening in the world around you today. And you will never be able to understand the end. I want to tell you something. It's time to demystify the second coming of Jesus. It's time to first look for the positives. It's time for us to look at what God is going to do for us. In today's program, we're going to take you back to the beginning. We're going to start sorting this out because, man, I want your faith to be full. Hey, I'm Jim Richards, and I got a free download for you. I want to resolve your confusing questions about the second coming of Jesus. There are so many things that we are confused about that are unclear, and I've got a free message that's going to answer those questions. Today, we're going to be talking about the Father of all lies. And you know something? When you say something like that, immediately people assume they know what you're going to be talking about. But I want us to get down to the core of what really drives Lucifer. You can't understand his strategies if you don't really understand the core of what's really working in him. You know, we know that Satan steals, kills, and destroys, but the question is, why? Why does he do that? People say, well, he's evil. Well, that's really not the core. Evil is a manifestation of his core, of his core nature. But that really doesn't tell you much about who he really is, why he does what he really does. So let's dive into this to see how far we can get. And remember, in this accompanying CD series and in the book Apocalypse, A Spiritual Guide to the Second Coming, I want to tell you this will put all of these pieces together in a way that you're going to understand the spiritual history of the world from the rebellion of Satan until the return of Jesus and how you can function it, how you can live in victory in it. Now listen, I want you to understand something. There is this terminology we use where we refer to Satan's fall. I want you to understand something. Satan did not fall. He rebelled. This whole concept of Satan falling is a whole part of the lie that he has brought to planet Earth to make us believe that if we just slip up, if we just do something wrong, we're going to get cast out of heaven like he was. And it's all about attacking the character and the nature of God. The truth is, a Lucifer was the original inventor of iniquity. In Ezekiel 28:15, it says, you were perfect in all your ways from the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you. Now, this whole thing about iniquity is absolutely something that we have missed all through understanding and interpreting history. It is something that we have missed in all the major denominations and philosophical and theological approaches to sorting out important events in the Bible. One of the things that has either been missed or has not been properly emphasized is the whole issue of iniquity. And I want you to understand, at the core of Satan's being is a character trait, because in the Hebrew, it presents something bigger than just one simple word, but it's a character trait that has to do with envy and jealousy, and it breeds forth this crooked, twisted heart out of which comes this corrupt thought that the Bible cause iniquity. And what you're going to find is no matter what strategy Satan is using, whether it's a strategy he uses with governments, whether it's a strategy he uses in churches, whether it's a strategy he uses in the lives of believers or unbelievers, you will always find that the driving force behind every strategy of Satan is, in fact, iniquity. Now, you've heard me talk about iniquity before, but I want to make sure that you get this. Iniquity always starts with a crooked heart or a twisted heart, because your heart is your basis of understanding. Now, our heart never accidentally gets twisted. Satan's heart was not accidentally twisted. Satan was not abused. He was not hurt. He was not misused. He was not wronged in any way. But because of pride and jealousy, he exalted himself. He attempted to exalt himself over God and basically presented the idea that he was more fair, he was more righteous, he was more just than God. His ways were wiser than God's ways, and he led a rebellion in heaven. And it's very important that you understand this. His goal was to overthrow God. And based on what we know about him, his approach to the angels that participated in this had to be iniquity. It had to be the idea that life or existence would be better his way than it was God's way. So all of Satan's work in planet Earth is based on the fact that he educated the world in iniquity. You know, we have this idea that Satan is, you know, running around whispering in people's ears. Well, I got news for you. He doesn't have to whisper in your ear. If you have been educated a certain way, if you have been taught a certain thing, if your tradition or your cultures lead you to believe certain things, Satan does not have to whisper in your ear. It's not Satan whispering in your ear. It is you whispering in your own head. It's your own thoughts. Whenever your thoughts are not based on the Word of God, when our mind has not been renewed by the Word of God, then we develop philosophies, we develop vain imaginations, we develop corrupt ideas, and we present them as truth, and we present them to be fair. And, you know, this is where we start coming up with the idea that God's Word isn't relevant anymore, and you know, what was important in the past isn't important now. What God said in the past isn't important. Now, I want you to know, all of that is the work of iniquity. It is the rejection of God's truth and the exaltation of the philosophies, the imaginations, the humanistic concepts of man that put man at the center as his own God rather than our Creator being the true God. Now, I want you to understand one of the things that's driving Satan's goal to steal, kill, and destroy. We know that his nature is this nature of pride, of envy, of jealousy. We know that out of that, because he was envious of God, that he corrupted his own ways and he became the father of lies. And we're going to get into that, and you're going to understand some things about how and why he's the father of lies and what that really refers to. Even though he's the father of all lies in general, this is talking about something specifically. But now let's talk about why he steals. Why does he kill? Why does he destroy? You see, most of Christianity really believes dualism. And dualism is kind of the idea that God and Satan are nearly equal in power, and that there is this battle that is going on, you know, for the outcome and the dominion of the world, and that, you know, there's various versions of this, but basically that the end has yet to be determined, and Satan's trying to get people on his side, God's trying to get people on his side. No, that's really true. There is no dualism. Satan is a created being. He is nowhere near as powerful as God. He is no competition for God. Revelation 12:11 gives us a synopsis of heavenly history and how the history in heaven affects what happens on planet Earth. And it talks about Satan's rebellion. And it ultimately, in Revelation 12:11, it tells us, it says, "For the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has only a short time." Now, I want you to realize something. When you study the writings of true Satanists, and I have, I want you to understand something. Karl Marx was a true Satanist. Lenin was a Satanist. Hitler was into Satanism. Almost all of these horrible, horrible people that killed millions of other people throughout the world have actually been either devoted Satanists, or they at least tried to league with dark powers, if you will, so that they could overthrow the world. But when you read the writings of a true Satanist knows that he is never going to win this battle. A true Satanist knows that Lucifer is never going to get the upper hand. A true Satanist, in fact, knows that he will spend eternity in hell with Lucifer. Now, I'm sure that he's distorted about what that means. Maybe, you know, to a lot of these people, they think hell is going to be a great big party, a big old orgy, a big old beer fest where people drink and have sex and live like they want it to live here on planet Earth. But that's really not how it's going to be. But the point is this: Satan himself knows that he has only a short time, and it is out of this knowledge that he is desperate to steal, kill, and destroy. Why the stealing, killing, and destroying becomes so important to someone who knows they only have a short time? I'll tell you why. Because according to the writings of pure Satanists, their only goal is to destroy that which God loves. They can't hurt God personally, so the goal is to hurt and destroy that which God loves. You know, I believe it was either Karl Marx or Lenin that said, you know, I know I'll spend eternity in hell, and my only joy is knowing the millions that I will take to hell with me. Listen, I'll be back in just a few minutes. Don't go away. My new HCD series, Apocalypse, A Spiritual Guide to the Second Coming, is going to answer questions that you've probably had your whole life. It's going to bring peace and clarity to you about the Second Coming. It's going to teach you what Jesus said was important. Now, you know my CD series are always different than the book. So you want to get this. This is going to answer your questions. And we're going to put your focus where it's supposed to be, not on the tribulation, not on the Antichrist, not on everything that's wrong, but on the second coming of Jesus and how you can prepare. All right, Satan's first manifestation, or the first recorded effort that we have of his rebellion in planet Earth, was found in Genesis chapter 3 in the garden when the serpent came and approached Adam and Eve. Now, you know, people say, well, that Satan came in the form of a serpent. Very likely, the serpent participated at some point in this rebellion, because what we find is we find Satan or Lucifer trying to bring all of creation into this rebellion. And we see that he may have brought the serpent, that we know that, in fact, that later on he brought the watchers, which were a different class of angels. We know that he has always worked to bring mankind into this rebellion. But now, in order for this rebellion to take place, in order for there to be rebellion in earth, it had to be just like the rebellion in heaven. It had to be built on iniquity. Now, I want you to understand something. Satan does not have the power to do anything to you in planet Earth. He does not have the authority or the right to do anything to you. You know, one of the things that people have extrapolated that's not in the Bible is that when man fell, he gave his authority to the devil. That's nowhere in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say that anywhere. And in fact, if the devil had authority, he would have annihilated planet Earth a long time ago. If he could have killed man by his own authority, if he could have taken over planet Earth by his own authority, we would not have lasted these 6,000 years of recorded human life that we have. We would not have lasted this time. He would have simply obliterated the human race. But he, in fact, does not have authority. And so he has to have mankind, because God gave authority in planet Earth to man. And man is created in the likeness and the image of God. Satan is not created in the likeness and image of God. We have capacities that he absolutely does not have. Therefore, the only thing that he has in dealing with mankind is deceit and lies. And that's it. And so he had to interject iniquity into the world. So you all are very familiar with the whole temptation. The serpent comes into the garden as a representative of Satan and basically challenges man about the goodness of God. Now, you start realizing that all the way to this very day and all the way to the tribulation, The whole issue that takes the earth into the tribulation is man's refusal to believe that God is good and that he's only good. You know, it's interesting. The book of Hebrews tells us that you know, without faith it's impossible to please God. But because with first, you know, in faith, we have to believe that God is. But we also have to believe that God is the rewarder of those who seek for him. And most of your denominations of the world, most of your religions of the world do not see our God or their God as a good God. They see God, whatever version of God they believe in or whatever name they call God by, but even most Christians who worship Jehovah through the Lord Jesus Christ do not believe that God is good and that he's only good. And one of the reasons is because we've opened the Bible very ignorantly. It's like, I always use this example. It's like going to a mystery movie, but you get there an hour late. And you know, it's in the beginning of the movie that you find out who the characters are. It's in the beginning of the movie that you get all the details that set your mind to figuring out who really committed the crime and who did what. Well, when you walk into the middle of a movie, you don't have all those details and you're just guessing randomly and you can't put the pieces together and none of it really makes sense. I want to tell you something. That's how the church is being. We are looking at the world out here around us and we have been so alienated from the spiritual history of the world that God gave us in the Bible that we are just using mere conjecture, extrapolation, just guessing, wondering, and imagination to come up with our understanding of what is really going on in planet Earth. Well, in the garden, it all began with the idea that you're really not who God says you are, because he says, you know, he tells them, he says, in the day that you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will become like God. They were already like God. They already lived in paradise. The earth was a paradise. You know, there was no heat of sun. The weeds didn't overtake the good edible fruit. Snakes were not poisonous. There have been studies that have been done. Dr. Carl Ball in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and along with some other scientists, they built a hyperbolic chamber whereby they sought to reproduce all of the environmental characteristics of planet Earth as it would have been 6,000 years ago. And they found all kinds of phenomenal things, like if a person has a wound or a cut and they're in this chamber that has a humidity similar to what we think the humidity was back then, a magnetic flux that was similar to what we think it was back then. It has all these characteristics of that, as far as we know, that planet Earth had back then. Then cuts or injuries heal at what we would call a supernatural rate of speed. One of the most interesting things is if they put a poisonous snake in there, in just a few days, his venom is no longer poisonous. You see, planet Earth was designed to sustain life. It was never designed to bring forth death. And man, who had authority in planet Earth, actually turned the whole world off of his axis by believing this iniquity, by believing that he was not who God said he was. And as a result of believing that lie, he then decided, I could manage planet Earth better if I was the one deciding good and evil. If I was deciding right or wrong, if I was deciding what's godly and what's ungodly, if I was deciding what's wise and what's foolish, if I was deciding what was healthy and what was unhealthy, if I was, you know, in other words, I want to be my own God. And as my own God, I get to make my own judgments about everything. And so man made this choice. Now, man did not lose his authority, but now he began to use his authority in a totally corrupt manner. But remember this, I've said this many, many times. Remember, sin is not what you do that causes God to be angry with you. Sin is not necessarily what you do that makes God stop loving you or reject you, but sin is what you do that causes you to see, experience, and life in yourself as less than God says that you really are. And when that happens, you no longer have your sense of confidence. Matter of fact, the Bible talks to us about how our heart will condemn us. Whenever we don't walk in love and we don't walk according to God's word, our heart condemns us. Well, when our heart condemns us, we feel fear. Fear is always about condemnation. Fear is always about feeling inadequate. Fear is about feeling unsafe. And so the first thing that happened to man when he made this choice to be his own God was immediately fear came in, and now man became afraid of God. So beginning at the Garden of Eden, this is where the father of lies not only interjected the idea that God couldn't be trusted, interjected the idea, you know, that God, you should be afraid of God, that God was going to hurt you, but in fact, man then had an emotional experience that seemed to validate this, because now man begins to hide from God. He begins to lie to God. He's afraid to be honest with God. So, you know, we have our first rebellion in heaven. We have our second rebellion in the garden. Then we have a third rebellion where the watchers, or what the book of Genesis calls the sons of God, which were a form of angels. You know, there's many different forms of angels, and these sons of God, they entered into this rebellion, and they decided that they would cross over, and we know exactly where they crossed over in Phoenicia, and exactly what mountain they crossed over, and they entered into planet Earth, they crossed over into this realm, and these were angelic beings that had the capacity to manifest in bodies that looked like humans, or that were nearly exact replicas of human, because we had many encounters in the Old Testament of angelic beings, which was this particular form of angel, appearing to people, and they thought they were men. Well, these watchers, these angels, these sons of God, they began to have sex with women, and they began to produce what is called the Nephilim. Now, the Nephilim, got to keep in mind, these were angelic beings who had entered into this rebellion. Iniquity was going to be their tool to overthrow the human race. And so they began to introduce all kinds of mysticism, all kinds of spiritual lies into planet Earth. And really their goal was to destroy the human race and thereby destroy the bloodline of Jesus, because it had been prophesied in the garden that the heel of man would bruise the head of the serpent, and that the serpent would bruise the heel of man. So they knew that a Savior was coming through the bloodline of the human race. And so they set out to destroy the human race. But we know that through the teaching of the Nephilim, we know this is where man learned how to murder one another. This is where man learned how to make weapons of war. This is where man put value on gold and precious stones and learned astrology. This is the race of people that built the pyramids that you see all over the world. These ancient monuments and temples that were built that cannot even be built today with the computer technology that we have. This was all done by these beings who knew geometry, who knew the secrets of the universe, who knew how the world was built, who knew many of the secrets of God. But you know what? They didn't know all of the secrets of God. And so I want you to know, all through history, there have been these rebellions, and every one of these rebellions have been designed to do one thing: destroy that which God loves. And I want to tell you, there is coming one more man of iniquity. You know, the world will reach such a place that it will abandon God's values, God's morals, God's ethics. You already see it in the governments of the world. You're seeing it in liberal denominations. You're seeing it in movements that consider themselves to be enlightened and all about love and grace, when really all they're about is iniquity and sin and deception. And I'm telling you what, we are entering into a time where iniquity is abounding in planet Earth. But I got great news for you. Jesus Himself is going to return and deliver us from all this mess. Jesus Himself is going to come back, and we are going to be transformed. I'm telling you, we're going to be transformed in the blinking of an eye, and we are going to participate in the marriage feast of the Lamb. We are going to come back with Him as the army that will not only overthrow all of the powers of darkness, but we will rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. Listen, come back for a mentoring moment. I'll be right back. If these programs are a blessing and a help to you, we want to invite you to join our World Changer family. We are taking the message of God's unconditional love to the entire world, and we are working together to reach 1 billion people with this gospel. This month, I am releasing my new book, Apocalypse, A Spiritual Guide to the Second Coming. Now, this book is over 300 pages, and I'm going to tell you something. It's not just going to answer questions about the second coming of the Lord Jesus. It's going to resolve your issues about how the world got where it is. Now, There's always in my books and in my CDs, there's always a lot of different information because there's things that are more effective when you're preaching and there's things that are more effective when you're writing. But I want to tell you something, the CD series and the book would be a great pair if you really want to get clear on what's going to be happening in the days to come, what Jesus wants us to do, how He wants us to prepare. And you know something? I want you to be sure and go to my website because we have a special offer for anyone who orders this book. And you're going to love it. You're going to get incredible benefit from it. But I want to tell you something. This is going to put your heart at peace, open your eyes, and you're going to be ready to meet the Lord Jesus. I tell you, you've heard me say this for as long as you have been listening to me preach the gospel. The word gospel means good news. If it's not good news, it is not gospel. So listen to me. This is so crucial. When we think about the second coming, not many people talk about the second coming. Most people talk about the end times or talk about the tribulation. And almost every book I have ever read about the tribulation and about the end times basically presents this idea that because man has finally broken enough of God's laws that God is going to pour His judgment out on planet Earth. And those people who still believe in the book of Revelation, which many people don't, those people who still believe in the end time prophecies, which many people don't. Those people believe that all of the horrible things that are going to happen in planet Earth are going to happen because God is finally so sick of mankind that He's done. He's finally going to judge us as we deserve. Well, I got news for you. It is that very lie that has taken the entire world down this path of darkness, of believing that God is not a good God. I'm telling you, when you read my book, Apocalypse, you are going to see how you bought into the lie, how I bought into the lie, how we were seduced from every imaginable aspect or arena of social life. We were seduced. But let me tell you something. Here's the deal. Tribulation is not when God pours His wrath out on planet Earth. Tribulation is when wicked people finally openly start supporting the man of iniquity. And that's what the Bible calls him. The man who rejects God's morals, God's values, God's commandments, God's truth, God's ethics, all God's character traits, and literally calls evil good. In other words, it's a good thing to just let people be in sin. And let's just tell people that's in sin that everything is all right. The fulfillment of your lust, this is how you're going to be happy. And reject that old idea that God doesn't want you doing these things. Well, I'll tell you something. That is iniquity, straightforward. It is deception. I want you to understand something. The man of iniquity is the one who brings the tribulation. Jesus will deliver us from that tribulation. And you're going to learn more about that next week. Be sure and be here.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts and our videos. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.